Good morning, Crossroads Church. How's everybody doing today? Man, that song right there, Holy is the Name. I think I could sing that for the next hour. Wow. I just want to take a second. I think sometimes we just need to pump the brakes and like brag on God for a little bit. Man, I'm so thankful to come to a church where the name of Jesus is lifted high. And we make a big deal about him. Man, there's just so much going on. God's doing so many things in our lives. There's a lot of people that have had relatives or family or friends that have been sick in the hospital, who have been going through some very, very difficult times. One of our dear sisters in Christ, some of you may know Miss Diane. She was a dear friend of Kelly and many of you. And she's been struggling physically here lately, and God healed her of that. He took her home to be with him this past week. And so although that be a sad time, it's still a tremendous joy-filled time because we know that she's no longer hurting. She is literally, that's kind of mind-opening to see that someone that I've had a conversation with personally, I've talked to her, how are you doing? You know, and I've spent time with her here at church to know that same lady that I spoke with is now standing in the presence of God. Like the literal, she can hug his neck. Now, I don't know if heaven has church on Sundays. This is all I know, so we're going to go with it. So her first church service, but she's been healed. And that's the hope that we have as Christians. That's the hope that the rest of the world does not have, and that's why we have a lot to celebrate. For some of you that maybe you know Miss Janet Moore and Fulton, her husband, they've both been in the hospital. Fulton was here in our first service, and it was just nuts seeing that man sit on the very back row with his cane to see what God's done to heal him. And his wife, literally, the doctor said this past week, there's no hope, there's nothing else we can do. It's just a matter of time. She's going to die any minute. And I got a text this morning before the service that she was alert, she was talking, she's doing better, and she wanted something to eat. So y'all can clap for that. Just, I'll clap. That's God. You know, and there's just so much of that stuff going on that is so encouraging to my soul. I had another brother, Jeremy. He and his wife have been coming to church here for, I don't know, a few months, maybe a little bit longer. And he's recently been baptized. And it's so cool to see the change that God has, like, literally grabbed him by the heart. And to see the night and day difference. He comes up to me, and I ask him if I could share this. And he said, Chris, I haven't seen my son in a year. And he was able to go have lunch with his son yesterday or the day before. And he said his son looked at him and he said, Dad, you're different. That's evidence of the Holy Spirit. And that's what we all desire. So, you know, I think about all the times that we come together and how it's easy just to do the singing. It's just easy to do the preaching. Hurry up, get it over with so we can get our day. We can eat and we can have our nap, hopefully, right? But man, sometimes it's good to just pump the brakes and say, let's celebrate what God's doing. You know, it's often every Sunday, we might not necessarily give an invitation for people to come down and raise their hand that they got saved, but it's almost every Sunday somebody checks on one of those cards, I put my faith and trust in Jesus today. Guys, you've played a huge part in that. So I am so honored to be a part of a church that loves people of every age, every color, amen, and every shape. Praise the Lord. You know, we've got a lot of numbers in here. So with that being said, Pastor Scott is out of town today. He and his oldest son, Kyle, are on a plane right now to Vietnam. Woo! So they're probably sailing over the wild blue yonder right now. So I know that he would covet your prayers. And so let's just go to the Lord. And before we do this thing that we call church, let's just ask him to bless us today. Is that cool? You guys cool with that? Y'all awake? All right, I'll pray for you to be awake too. It'll be a short prayer so that way you don't fall asleep. Jesus, thank you so much that we can come and just put our focus 100% on you. God, right now, I thank you for the ways that you are a miracle worker. Holy is your name. So God, we celebrate you today. God, I think about all of the people that you've healed. And I think there's plenty of us that still have loved ones that are sick and they're struggling. And so right now, Lord, they need a special touch from you. We just pray that you would reach down and and heal him if it be your will. God, we love you. We're thankful for our pastor and his son that are able to do a missions trip. And so while they're over there, God, I pray that you would just protect them, put a hedge of protection around them right now. You would help them to minister to the people of Vietnam. God, we're excited to see the work that you're doing there. And then for those of us that are here today, Lord, I need to hear from you today as well, Jesus. I'm no different than anyone sitting here. You've called me, and so that's the only difference in me. I'm still broken. I'm still messed up. I still struggle with sin. So God, help us to understand that I don't have anything good to offer these people. All I can offer them is your word. Your word is the only thing that has the power to change our heart, to break stony hearts that are far from you. But God, we know that your design and your plan is to have a relationship with each and every one of us, and you are relentlessly pursuing us. God, we love you. Help us to focus on you today. God, be with us. I pray that your spirit would fall heavy, and whoever it is in this room, whether they don't have friends, I pray that we would become their circle of friends. If they don't have family, I pray that this church would be their new church family and help them to realize that they belong here. God, we love you. We ask these things in your son's name. And by the way, thank you for Alabama beating Georgia last night. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm just saying, right? Give praise where praise is due. Whoop, whoop. So, listen, if you have your Bibles, Jesus will forgive me later. I know it's not that bad. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. And while you're turning there, I want to see if you guys can do two things at once. While you're turning to Romans chapter 12, I want you to think of something that's very important to you. I mean, like, it's right up there, like it's the cream of the crop. Like this thing is super important to me. And I don't want you to say it out loud. Nobody's going to judge you. You know, if it's a hobby, then like just focus on that. If it's a person, if it's a relationship, if it's family, if it's a career, whatever the case may be, whatever that thing is that's most important to you, I want you to really just think about it right now as you're turning to Romans chapter 12. And so here's what I know today, as we've been working through this series called The Mark. It's talking about Christians and the mark of a Christian. We should be defined by certain things in our life where people look at us and say, that's a Christian. And the mark that we're talking about today is going to be sacrifice. Everybody say it with me. Sacrifice. Yes. The sacrifice is everything. Okay, I did not put that in my notes, but the more I sit here and think about this and think through it and pray on it, it has everything to do with your sacrifice. The sacrifice is everything. And so as we take a look today at what the Bible has to say about what true sacrifice is, I want you to take a moment to think about that important thing in your life right now. Because here's what I know, that when it comes to things that are important to you and I, most times we will sacrifice for the things that are important to us. Now, if your thing that you're thinking about, you do not sacrifice for it, I can tell you right now, you don't really care as much about it as you think you do. Not trying to step on any toes, but the things that we care about the most, that are most important to us, we will typically sacrifice the most for. Now, as you can tell, I'm not an avid hunter, but I know that in this room, because we are in Johnston County, there are some men that believe they have the official title of the Deer Slayer. At least that's what they think. They hunt. They can't wait till October, November. Is it no? You know? Okay. Taylor knows. That's what's up. November, so you can go kill the big one. I need to put meat on my table and horns, or whatever they're called, antlers on the wall. Horns, I'm telling you, bear with me, okay? Some of you, your important thing in your life might be some of your hobby because it brings you a lot of joy. And so you tend to sacrifice the things in your life because of that one important thing. Now, some of you, it might be a hobby, hunting or golf or whatever. Some of you, your important thing in your life might be a relationship. Man, she's so pretty. He's kind of hot, right? There's this like dating thing going on. As my great-grandmother used to say, you're courting. No, Google it, right? You'll know. Kids are like, what's that? you're pursuing each other. And so what happens is, you ever get the conversation with your close best friends, ladies? They're like, I just don't see you anymore. Like, what's going on? We don't ever go to the mall. Well, there's this other guy, and he's kind of important. And so they've taken the back seat. You've sacrificed time with your friends to be with this important thing in your life. Some of you, it might not be that way. Some of you are destined for loneliness the rest of your lives, which is why you're here in church. Amen, right, family? I'm kidding. That was really bad. Was that too far? That was too far. I apologize. We'll edit that one out. Some of you in this room, you could care less about a relationship. Chris, I'm just trying to figure out what it is that God has for me to do in my life. So you might be very career-minded. So some of you in this room might say that, you know what I thought of was, I started a business. Right? I want to go someplace. I want to be a doctor, or maybe God's called me to do this or whatever. And so right now, because that's very important to me, what I've had to do is I've had to sacrifice some things to pursue this career. So again, we understand that if it's important to you, you're going to sacrifice. And so here are some of the things that we end up sacrificing. Okay? This is evidence. Number one, time. Yes, we will sacrifice time for the things that we think are important. I don't know if I need to go in detail too much with that, but again, it's time, right? Time is very valuable to some people. And so a lot of us will take and put other things on the back burner when we should be spending time doing this, but this is more important, and so we're going to sacrifice the time with this for that important thing. Some of the other ones, wealth. If you are a parent in this room right now and you have children, you know exactly what I'm talking about when you say that you sacrifice the bank account. Amen, parents? Oh my gosh. If you have your kids in Christian school, you definitely know about sacrificing some wealth. Tuition ain't free. But even if your kids aren't in Christian school, maybe you sacrifice because you want your child, the one that's, you know, very important to you. You want them to have nicer things. You want them to have clothes and shoes. You want them to eat healthy, and you want them to participate in things. There's nothing wrong with that. Here's another thing that when something's important to you, that you will sacrifice. This one is near and dear to my heart, specifically to my wife and I, and that's sleep. Can we get an amen on the sleep? How many of you, raise your hand if you just love some good old nappy time? All right. If you're good today, if you're paying attention, I promise to get you out of here at a decent time so you can go get a nap. Amen. You've forgotten about my amen takes off a minute of my sermon? All right, let's pray. Let's go home. That'd be great. Sleep. I won't put you on the spot, but there's a lot of ladies in this room, I learned from the first service, that might be, as some would call, preggers, pregnant, expecting, right? You don't have to raise your hand. There's been a lot of that going around here at Crossroads lately where people just show up pregnant, they have a baby, and then, don't drink the water. Just public service announcement. I don't care if, like, there's no physical possible way you can have a child again. If you drink the water here at Crossroads, it's happening. I've seen it happen. Ask Scott Call. Because he said, no, there's no physical possible way. And God said, yes, there is. So here's what I know is when it comes to something that's important to us, our children, right, and our babies, moms, we love our babies, and even dads, we love our babies too, just not the diaper part, but we tend to lose sleep. We sacrifice sleep. We could be doing a lot of other things like counting sheep, but when that baby cries, rather than hitting snooze or sleeping another 30 minutes, we sacrifice sleep to spend time with that child because they have needs. It's important to us. Here's another one, health. Now, this one, most of the time, is unintentional. So a lot of times we can sacrifice our health because when we get busy taking care and pursuing that thing that's most important in our lives, what we tend to do is stop eating healthy or stop exercising, or as in my case, you just never exercise and never started, so you're good, right? But it's unintentional, but bad eating habits can be caused because we're sacrificing our health to take care of this thing that's so important in our lives. Here's another one. This is probably really important. Your sanity. Oh, man. Anybody just love drama? Anybody know of somebody that loves drama? Well, somebody's lying up in here, okay? Our sanity. Sometimes we can sacrifice our own, okay. It's the holidays, right? there's going to be that one relative that was like from Utah who wants to come and stay with you or something. And you're like, I do not. The last time we were together, it was just bad. But because family is important to you and spending time with them, so we tend to sacrifice even sometimes our sanity. And I said all those things to say that we all sacrifice something. Doesn't matter who you are, what it is that's most important to you, you're going to sacrifice something in one of those areas, whether it be time, wealth, sleep, health, sanity. And can I tell you today that sacrifice is a good thing? I'm not saying these things because I think you should sacrifice less. No, I'm saying that sacrifice is it's a very good thing. As a matter of fact, all of us in this room are called to live a life of sacrifice. It's what we're called to do. And so sacrifice is just simply a loss or something that you give up. And it's usually for the sake of a better cause, for the most part. Or, specifically for Christians, a sacrifice could be surrendering a possession or something of value as an offering to God. But here's the thing that I'm the most concerned about when it comes to our sacrifices, okay? It would be an absolute tragedy for you and I to spend our lives with something that is of importance, and we're sacrificing all the time. Sacrificing our time, sacrificing our money, sacrificing our sleep, our health, our sanity. All at the end of the day for it to be in vain. Like, it'd be one thing if I'm going to sacrifice my time that I actually have something to show for it. But what if you sacrificed your time and you had nothing at the end of the day and it never helped you? It was in vain. It wasn't ever enough. That's exactly what we're talking about in this particular passage of Scripture of Romans chapter 12. And we're going to just focus on two verses today. Is that cool? I've got an extra 40 in my back pocket if you need. Amen, right? All right, just two verses. Romans 1 and Romans 2. So, because I don't want you falling asleep, let's do some audience. Like, will you guys read Scripture with me? That'd be cool. I don't know if we've ever done that before, but it worked good in the first service. So Romans chapter 12, we're going to read the first two verses. And you guys don't have to read after me. You can just read it with me. We on the same page? Because I don't want to have to start over like you guys. There's that one guy who's like, okay. Here we go. Romans chapter 12. It'll be on the screen so you can read along with me. And I want to encourage you, if you don't have a Bible, there should be one underneath the seat in front of you or to the side. Pick that thing up and follow along with us. I believe it'll do you some good. So here we go. You guys ready? Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says this: I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Verse 2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. You guys sound really good. I'm proud of you. We'll do that again sometime soon. God wants you to know what is good. God wants you to know what is acceptable to Him. And He also wants you to know what is perfect to Him. God is righteous. What is the goal of life? Pastor Scott says, righteousness. The goal is to be right. God is righteousness. And so if we're going to be righteous in God's eyes, if we're going to walk as little Christians, as little Christs on this earth and represent Him, it would help us if we were also right. Make sense? You follow my train of thought there? So what if the sacrifices that we do daily, the things that we offer God, what type of tragedy would it be if we thought we were actually sacrificing for God and God looks at it and says, that's not acceptable? The difficult part is for me, as I prepared this sermon, far too many times, that's where I land. Because I don't give God a holy and acceptable sacrifice. But we see here that we can. It is possible for you and I as Christians to know what is good and is acceptable and is perfect. So, in this particular passage of Scripture, this is Paul, right? We've been working through Romans. And we've been tracking through here. And so today, Paul is being very transparent. Paul is telling you a lot about himself in these first two verses. Paul says, Therefore, like, I appeal to you. He's literally saying, I urge you, okay? I urge you, therefore, brothers. You can throw in sisters. Brothers and sisters in Christ, believer, I'm urging you by the mercies of God. Why would he say by the mercies of God? Because Paul, before his name changed, before he had his conversion on the road to Damascus, was known as who? Saul, different name, different guy. He acted a complete different way before he had Christ in his life. Now, Saul, before his conversion, he was a Pharisee. In Acts chapter 23, he actually refers to himself as a son of Pharisees. And so the Pharisees, they were zealous for righteousness. They had a passion for being right. You ever know somebody that just wants to be right all the time? We've talked about it in here. Pastor Scott says it. No one wants to be wrong. We all want to be right. These Pharisees had a passion for keeping God's law, the Ten Commandments of Moses. So Saul would have religiously followed the laws and traditions of that day. Even so, he was so willing to follow those laws, he was willing to persecute, even to condemn to death those who were against it, those who did not follow. Saul was living a life of sacrifice. He was doing exactly what he thought was right in the eyes of God. The problem was, is Saul was not righteous. His daily sacrifice, Saul would have not only followed the Ten Commandments, but hundreds of other man-made laws. I think it was close to 600 of these laws he was keeping, trying to keep the law. He was living a righteous lifestyle for God. But at the same time, the tragedy is his sacrifice was not holy. His sacrifice was not acceptable. And so we see that in Paul. And Paul is saying, listen, brothers and sisters in Christ, I've been there. I too have thought that I was living a righteous lifestyle. I thought I was pursuing Jesus with all my heart. And everything that I gave God, man, it was holy and acceptable. But we find out here, guess what? It wasn't acceptable in God's eyes. And so he says, by the mercies of God. And then he says, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. So that leads me today to you and I. We are to live a life of sacrifice. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice. It's not an option. It's not a request. It's not something that they submitted for like approval. You and I as Christians are to live a life of sacrifice. It should be a normal part of your day as a Christian. Now, that does not sound exciting to me, if you just want me to be honest. Because too many times when I think of sacrifice, I think of, well, I've got to sacrifice my time. My time is important to me. What's important to you? Is your relationship most important with God? Is that the most important thing in your life? Because we will sacrifice time if it is. Is my relationship the most important thing to me, my relationship with God? Because if so, I'm going to sacrifice my wealth. I'm going to sacrifice my money. Sacrifice, it should be a normal part of our lives. Pastor Dylan, who is now at LifeSpring Church, he used to always say, we've all got time, talent, and treasure. And God is looking for us to sacrifice those to him daily. Listen to Luke 9:24. This is so good. Scripture says, for whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will actually save it. Why would God want me to present myself as a living sacrifice to lose my life daily? Because he knows in doing so, you will actually gain life. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:31, he says, I protest, brothers, by my pride in you, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die every day. The King James Version, most of us are familiar with that. I die to myself daily. That means the desires. When I wake up, I have to look at every day as, God, you've called me to live a life that's sacrificial for you. What do you want me to do today? And you're like, well, I got to go to work. That's exactly right. You do have to pay the bills, then go to work. But when you're at work, how are you going to behave? Are you going to live a sacrificial life that shows and points others to Jesus, that there's been a change in your heart? When you're hanging out with your friends on the weekend, are we going to actually sacrifice some of our fleshly desires and not do what they want us to do to become more like Christ? You see, when our sacrifice should lead ultimately to God's glory. Our sacrifice should also be that souls would come to know Christ, and our sacrifice should also advance the kingdom of God. Deuteronomy 4:24 says this. We're going Old Testament. I'm going to set this up. It says, "For the Lord your God is a consuming fire, a jealous God." It's so cool how it's worded there. God is a jealous God. If you're in a relationship, you know exactly what he's talking about. You know, like, I love my wife. I don't want her talking to other guys. I'm just jealous. Sorry, that's how I am, right? Like, I put a ring on it. She's mine. I'm jealous of her. That's how you're supposed to be. Guys, if you're married, if you've got a fiance, if you've got a girlfriend, you should be jealous. If you're not, I don't know if there something's off. Come talk to me. You should be jealous, and God is the same way with us. He doesn't want anything above the relationship that you have with him. And so this dying daily, this sacrifice, this sacrificial life, I almost built an altar. Like, I wanted to so bad. Like, put an altar right here on the stage, but I was like, I'm not strong enough to move it, and I don't know who I could get to bring it in and out. But to have a, just imagine there's an altar here. And my life, everything I say, everything I do, every decision, every word that's said, everything, I'm laying it on an altar for God. Because God is this what? He's this consuming fire. And God desires to burn up my sacrifice and to use it for his glory so that others would come to know Christ and for the advancement of his kingdom. Now, what if my sacrifice is not acceptable? Is it going to accomplish any of those three? I would say no. So, the next thing we've got here is not all sacrifice is acceptable. The rest of verse 1, he said, "Present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship." So, I've got a picture. In just a minute, I'm going to put on the screen, but I think we need to go back into the Old Testament. Paul is referring to sacrifice a lot here. So, it would be wise of us if we understood exactly what was a sacrifice in the Bible times. So, you guys are familiar probably with Moses. You've probably all heard of him. You got the children of Israel. They were in bondage and slavery in Egypt. And so God said, "Moses, I want you to go tell Pharaoh, let my people..." Okay, all right, so some of you are familiar. So Moses goes back and God performs these miracles. And so God softens Pharaoh's heart. So he lets his people go. We won't go into all the story. And so now Moses is in the wilderness with I don't know how many people, maybe millions at that point. There's a lot of Jews, so they're in the wilderness. What do we do? We're wandering. Got 40 years of this, right? So we're wandering around, and you know what God says? I want to be with my people. I want to be among my people. I want to be their king. And so he says, I want a place where I can come and be with them. I want my spirit to be with them. But see, that's exactly what he wanted in Genesis, right? If you go back to Genesis, when God created the world, it was perfect. There was no sin. And so the scripture actually says that God would walk with Adam and Eve in the garden every day. His desire is to be with you. Some of you need to hear that. You might feel far from God. I don't care what it is that you've done in your life. I don't care what it is that you've said, the horrendous crimes that you may have committed. It doesn't matter. God loves you. That just sounds crazy to roll off the tongue. It doesn't matter what you've done. He desperately is seeking you, and he wants to walk with you. And he created a world that he could do that. And what happened? We chose disobedience. We chose to do what we wanted and not what God wanted. And so sin separated us. That broke the relationship. Fast forward some years, and now we've got the children of Israel. And God says, I want to be with my people again. I'm trying to make a way. So God says, Moses, I want you to set up the tabernacle. You guys heard of the tabernacle? Okay. Not the one out in Utah, an actual tabernacle in the wilderness. I've got a picture. Put it up here on the screen for me. So this right here would have been very, very similar to what the children of Israel, the Jews, when Moses was leading them around, God gave Moses some very specific instructions. And he said, I'm going to come and dwell among my people. The manifest presence of God is going to be with you guys. And so you need to make it to my specifications. I want a tent. So you see the tent there in the middle. That tent, there would be the holy place. And then there was the holy of holies, the holiest place where God's literal presence was. Not anybody could just go in there. They'd be struck dead. The priest could go in there one time a year. You better make sure he was holy and acceptable, right? There wasn't much room for error. And so then what they would do is they would move this camp, and you see the little fence around. So what's on the outside of the tent, within that fence, kind of that little gate thing, is called the outer court. Now, the little black doors down here, that's where the gate would be, where people would come to the priest. Do you see that box right there? Does anybody know what that little square is right in the center? That's the altar. Now, this is so cool because we all want to have a relationship with God. God's in the back of that tent. Before we get to God, what's up front? Very first thing you see when you open up the gate is what? It's an altar. Hey guys, guess what? Sacrifice is not optional. If you're going to be a Christian, sacrifice is required. And so show the next picture. So when you go in the gate, this one's not real. This one's kind of, you know, cartoony, but it serves a purpose. You'd have these priests that were there. There was different priests for different things that they had going on in the tabernacle. And so it was our responsibility, if we were people at that time, the Bible says without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of, okay? In order to have our sins forgiven, there had to have been shedding of blood. And so at that time, Jesus had not come. So we had to use animals. And just for the sake of time, there was three different types of offering that you had. There was the burnt offering, there was a peace offering. Grain offering. Okay, so there's these different offerings that you could bring to have forgiveness of sins. When I brought my lamb or my bull to be placed on that altar, I couldn't just bring whatever. If I had a flock of sheep, guess what? I couldn't, like, just being honest, I'm not bringing you my best because, like, you know, if you ever breed dogs, you want the runt gone first, right? I love the runt personally, but it's like, no, the bloodline's in the good one, right? We want to hang on to that one. And it was the same thing with people of that day when they had flocks of different animals. But God said, when you bring me a sacrifice, it's the best sacrifice. It's the best. No, you don't bring me something. And so the priest, when they would bring a sacrifice, you'd come and say, I'm here to make a sacrifice for my sins. And you know what the priest would do? Let me check it out. Move the leg. That's a little gimpy. Let me see him walk. And the little sheep's like, you know, it's like, nope, take it. You could say, no, put him on the altar. That's who I brought. It's not acceptable. It's not holy. Just leave. It's not acceptable. I can put it on there, but it's not going to do anything. It has to be perfect. It has to be spotless. It has to be without blemish. They would sit there and they would go through the fur or the wool or whatever it is on there, and they would look and there's a spot. It's like a big old mole or something. You better get that checked. Go on. You can't just bring God whatever you want to because it's not acceptable. It happened in the tabernacle, and guess what? It happens here. Listen to what Leviticus 1:3 says. Leviticus 1:3 says this. This is just a hint, just so you can see scripture saying that if his offering is a burnt offering from the herd, he shall offer a male, specifically male, without blemish. He shall bring it to the entrance of the tent of meeting that he may be accepted. I was so convicted, guys, because I don't know how many times, and I'm thankful that God probably will not show me how many times my sacrifice to him was garbage. I brought you something, God. Isn't that your leftovers? Yeah, but it's all I got. You can leave it, but I'm not taking it. Guys, I don't want that for us as a church. I don't want that for you as a Christian. God deserves our best, and he won't settle for anything less. Think about this. I'm just going to pump the brakes here because give me 5 minutes. John 14:6. For my brothers and sisters up front, Juan 14:6, yo soy el camino y la verdad y la vida. That Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Now, you remember our tabernacle? Where's God? He's in the tent. And we want to get to God, and we'll try everything that we can to get to God. God, I'll be good. I'll go to church. I'll throw you some money in the plate. And Jesus is our priest, and he's looking at our sacrifice, and he's saying, nope, nope, nope. This is such a picture of what Christ did for you and I when it comes to salvation. You see, because for those of us in this room who have given our hearts to Jesus, he deserves our best, right? But for those of us in this room who aren't Christians, guess what you get to bring God? You can't bring him your best. That's what Saul tried to do. Saul was trying to keep the law. I'm going to bring you my best. The whole time it's like not acceptable. The only thing God will take from you, person, believer, is your worst. For those of us that have never given our hearts to Jesus, I don't have to bring him my best because your best is non-existent. You're dead to sin. You bring him your mess. You're like, God, I don't have anything to offer you. He says, I know. I want it. God, but God, this isn't good. It's not my best. As a matter of fact, I don't have anything good to offer you. And Jesus says, okay, I know. Put it on the altar. I'll take it. As a matter of fact, let me get on the altar for you. And Jesus loves you so much that he allowed himself to be nailed to a tree. And his precious blood poured out for you and for me, because without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sin. Jesus was the final sacrifice that appeased God's wrath. So if you are here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, guess what? Bring him your messed up life. You don't have to bring him your best. You simply say, God, all I have is me, and I'm sinful. I'm a sinner. Jesus says, I paid your penalty for you. You can enter into a relationship with him immediately today. Oh, it would be the best decision you've ever made in your life. That's what he desires for you and I to do. And so once that happens, once we become a Christian, God now says, hey, listen, every day I want you to do that. Think about what God did. Did God give us his leftovers? Shoot, no. What could God have given us but his best? Jesus Christ is God's best. He's the perfect, sinless, spotless Lamb of God who came to save the sins of the world. Verse 2, and I'm done. Paul says, if you want to know if your sacrifice is good, if you want to know if it's acceptable, if it's holy, he says, you got to start with the mind. He says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. This world wants to shape your thoughts. It wants you to conform to it. This is how you should act. This is how you should be. This should be your priority. We have to learn to renew our mind. Guys, I was researching. There's just so much to cover. And I want to go on and on, but let me tell you that this was so cool. Anybody, any nerds in the place, you know what a blathosphere is? You guys ever heard of this? Anybody know? Okay, you ever seen National Geographic when they have those like submarines that go real deep down into the water and they're like taking pictures of fish that had never seen the light or whatever? So there's these submarines, but they can only go so far because the pressure of the water will crumble the metal and people will die. And so what they started doing is they started making these robots that, if they crush, you know, no big deal, no life lost. So they would drive these little robots down into the water. You ever heard of the Mariana Trench? Okay, so a few years ago, somebody drove a little robot, little camera submarine thing, it was small, 27,000 feet below. You know, that's over 5 miles down. So they get down there, like virtually, like there's no light. The amount of the pressure would crush anything just because of the pressure. And they cut on the light, and there's little fish swimming around there. It's the craziest thing in the world. And they were so shocked because if I'm down there, I'm dead. It would just ball me up. But fish can live in that environment. How can that be? And I thought, oh my gosh, that's just like us as Christians. We walk through this life facing all these battles. The world is trying to conform you. You ever feel pressured as a Christian? All the time. And it's like the pressure from outside is trying to buckle you. Here's how those fish survive. They compensate with equal and opposite pressure. It's the craziest thing in the world. The pressure on the inside of them compensate and actually pushes out. So the pressure on them, they don't explode because they compensate for the pressure that they're feeling by, I don't know how, it's just God's design. Can I tell you, that's you as a Christian today? There is a world that wants you destroyed, and it's trying to get you to buckle. But God says, hey, if you'll just lay your life down daily, if you'll start with me every day, give me your best. When's your best? Probably in the morning. I'm not a morning person. Mid-morning, after a cup of coffee, whatever. But like, I'm gonna do it, God. I'm gonna give you my best today. I'm not gonna try to squeeze you in at 10 o'clock and read 5 minutes of a Bible verse. Is that what's best? He wants to renew your mind. This world is gonna get you to conform unless you have something inside of you saying, nuh-uh, I'm pushing out. Compensate for it by renewing your mind. How do we renew our mind? We stay in this word. We come to church and we fellowship with other believers that actually care about us, and we want to see you do well. We pray and we constantly renew our mind. What will happen? What is good and acceptable and perfect, we'll be able to know. Would you bow your heads with me? God just wants. Here's God's ultimate goal in life, is for you to become more like him. And he wants to make you more righteous every day. It's that word, sanctification. Scripture says that every day your mercies are new. And we need those mercies, because every day we're probably going to fail at making sure all of our sacrifices are acceptable to God. But every day, could you imagine what this town would look like, church, if we would actually start out giving God our very best and not our very least or not our very last? It's all about the sacrifice. The sacrifice is everything. And it has to do with the condition of your heart. God does not need your time. He does not need your money. He does not need your talent or your treasure. He doesn't need those things, but he knows that he can tell the temperature of where we're at, because it's a heart issue. And so whatever it is that you're holding on to today, he just simply wants you to let it go. We can't be any more like Christ than when we're serving others in a sacrificial lifestyle. It's what he did on the cross, even to the point of death. And more likely than not, God's not going to ask you to literally lay your life on the line. He might, but for most of us living in America, we have to lay our desires down. God, what do you want me to do in life? God, what do you want me to do today? What do you want me to say? How do you want me to act? Am I willing to offer my best to you? Because God's telling you today, believer, he's only going to accept the best. It's not about the amount. It's about your heart. And so I think about those of you today who maybe you're not familiar with God, or maybe you've never given God control. You don't have a best. And so God just simply says, call out to me. Admit that you're a sinner. Receive my son Jesus, and your sins will be clean. They'll be wiped clean, as white as snow. Jesus, we love you. I'm so thankful for these opportunities that we have to learn and draw closer to you. And God, I've probably stepped on my toes way more than I have anybody else's, Lord. I need you to help me in this area to be a sacrificial liver, a sacrificial giver. God, it's what you've called us to do. You've set the example. So God, I pray that whatever it is that any of us are dealing with right now, that if you are convicting them, Lord, if they feel shame or guilt, that's not from you. You've set us free from that. You don't shame us and you don't condemn us, but you encourage us and you love us. You just want us to repent of our sins. So God, I pray that we would do that.